Welcome to the 100th episode of the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. In this special 100th episode, we're going to uncover the best business advice and secrets of success of three of Canada's very best entrepreneurs: Robert Herjavec of Dragon's Den fame, global sustainability leader Bruce Poon-Tip, and billionaire Michael Leekshin. Here's the twist. Every question will contain the number 100. First up, Robert Herjavec. Robert Herjavec is an entrepreneur, TV star, best-selling author, marathon runner, and competitive race car driver. You probably know Robert best from his two TV shows, Dragon's Den on CBC or Shark Tank on ABC, and his book Driven was one of the best-selling business books of 2010. But Robert is also a serial entrepreneur. His most recent business, the Herjavec Group, is Canada's largest network security integrator with $80 million in revenue. Robert, thanks for joining this special episode of the Business Coach Podcast.
You don't look 100, Ian.
Nor do you. Thanks very much. So, Robert, what are you looking for in the first 100 seconds of a pitch on Dragon's Den?
Does it captivate me? There's just something about people in the first 100 seconds. Do they get your attention?
What's the smartest thing that an entrepreneur can do in the first 100 days of their business?
Make sure the doors stay open. Stay focused on the next 100 days. At the beginning, it's guerrilla warfare. You got to make sure to survive, you have to kill one animal, then you got to kill another one and another one. People have too long term of view in the first 100 days.
In order to get your workday off to a great start, what do you do your first 100 minutes in the office?
I make sure that I separate the truly urgent from the really important. Every day I have 100 important things to do, but I guarantee you only three things are urgent, and those three things have to be done to move the ball forward.
An important milestone for a lot of companies is hiring their 100th employee. What should business owners be cognizant of as they approach this stage of their growth, where they transcend small business to medium-sized business?
Funny you ask that. I used to have that goal, when we get to the 100th employee. And then a friend of mine who's very successful said, get that out of your mind. Employees can be cost. You want to run a lean business that provides tremendous value regardless of the amount of employees. So I think what you have to be careful of is, as you expand, is cost. People are cost, people are value, but you got to be careful you don't have a lot of cost.
So are you saying that you should try your best never to get to 100?
I think people get infatuated with hiring. I think people say, my friend has 120 employees, I need 110. You need the right amount of employees to service your customers, whatever that number is.
Is your business significantly different when you have that 100th employee than it is when you had your 5th or 10th employee?
Absolutely, but your culture has to stay the same. So we have 150 employees now, but I don't have 150 employees. I have 7 people that I deal with, that I give direction to, and management, and then they have 7 people and so on. It's like the shampoo commercial.
You're a sales guy. You take pride in being a sales guy. Which way do you lean on sales compensation? You have two choices, 100% commission or 100% salary?
Neither. Anybody who works for 100% commission is inevitably going to end up doing something desperate simply to survive. And we're in a very high-value, high-touch business with long-term relationships. It doesn't work. Anybody who's 100% base isn't in sales.
Finally, if you had $100,000 to invest in an emerging industry or a market, what would that be?
Computer security. Or green tech. That's what I'm telling my kids. I'm telling my kids that green tech is the internet of their generation.
Robert Herjavec, thank you for joining this special episode of the Business Coach Podcast.
Thanks, Ian.
My next guest is Bruce Poon-Tip. In 1990, Bruce Poon-Tip founded Gap Adventures to deliver authentic experiences to travelers who craved adventures beyond all-inclusive resorts. Since then, Gap Adventures has grown to become a world leader in adventure travel, offering more than 1,000 small group experiences on all 7 continents to more than 100,000 travelers annually. Gap's revenue now exceeds more than $160 million. Among Bruce's many business awards are Canada's Top 40 Under 40 and Entrepreneur of the Year. Profit named him one of the top 10 entrepreneurs of the decade, and Gap Adventures appeared on the Profit 200 ranking of Canada's fastest-growing companies for 6 years in a row. Bruce, welcome to this special episode of the Business Coach Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So, Bruce, how did you make your first $100 in business, either as an employee or as an owner?
I had a paper route when I was 12 years old, back in the days when papers were delivered to homes. You have to collect papers from people. That would have been my first $100.
Based on your experience, what is the smartest thing an entrepreneur can do in the first 100 days of their company's existence?
Well, I think in the first 100 days, you have to be fueled by a lot of passion, and you have to love what you do. In order for someone to buy any product from you or buy your service, you have to love and show some passion for it. So the pre-planning is critical, but the execution of that has to be passionate. And, you know, I always encourage people to do something that they love.
When you started Gap Adventures, you obviously had just a handful of employees. For many companies, a big milestone in their growth is that 100th employee, and a lot of entrepreneurs sort of point to that as a point where the business changes in some way. What advice would you give to a business owner as they're moving towards hiring that 100th employee in terms of managing the culture, managing the growth of the company?
I think by the time you hire your 100th employee, you're a little bit more seasoned. I think when people originally hire people, it's not easy to hire people, and it's not easy to know what you need when you first start a business. I think some of the best advice I can give people is when you start hiring people, is it's very difficult to hire people that have skills that you don't have, because they're not naturally people that you're drawn to, because they have skills that you don't have. So by your 100th employee, hopefully you're quite seasoned and you're clear on what your weaknesses are, and you find someone that fills in those gaps of your weaknesses. Too many entrepreneurs hire people that they want to have a beer with or that they can be friends with, but coincidentally those people have the same skills as you usually, and that's one of the biggest mistakes I think entrepreneurs make when they're really stretching their budget sometimes to hire their first few employees.
Would it be fair to say that once you get to that 100th hire that you need to start thinking about your business in a different way and start thinking about delegating and structuring things more than you would when you only have a handful of employees that you have very close contact with?
I think at 100 employees you can still lead by example, and I think it's small enough still to manage. But that is the tipping point where it's no longer personal with your employees. Up until a certain point, you can still have people in your backyard for a barbecue, you can still go for a movie, or, you know, everyone works late and you order Chinese food and all that stuff, and you kind of have that bond of leading by example and working closely like that. Once you hit that 100 employee mark, it takes a different style of leadership, where you're more of a coach as opposed to a lead by example leader, and you have to be able to get the best out of people. You have to be able to build teams that are winning and are successful. And you have to be able to make that transition, and it's about admitting your weaknesses, you know, and filling the holes that you don't have. And that's the turning point for a lot of entrepreneurs.
If you had $100,000 to invest in an emerging industry or market right now, what would you invest in and why?
$100,000, I would probably drop it in social media. I'd probably wait till Facebook went public. I believe Facebook's going to be bigger than Walmart, Apple, all of them put together. But that's just my personal opinion. So I'd probably put it somewhere in social media or some of these, you know, Foursquare, some of these gamification kind of sites that are kind of engaging consumers and changing marketing spend, because some of the, you know, it's changing a whole industry at the moment. So I think it has a lot of legs in terms of investment.
Bruce Poontip of Gap Adventures, thank you for joining this special episode of the Business Coach Podcast.
Thank you.
Our final guest for this special episode of the Business Coach Podcast is a legendary entrepreneur, Michael Lee Chin of Portland Holdings. I can't do his full biography justice in the time we have, so let me choose a couple of highlights. When Michael acquired AIC Limited in 1987, the mutual fund company had assets under management of less than $1 million. Before long, that figure had grown to $15 billion, and AIC was servicing more than 1 million Canadians. In 2009, Michael sold AIC's retail fund business to Manulife Financial, making Portland Holdings one of its largest shareholders worldwide. He remains involved in AIC as lead manager of its flagship Advantage Fund. Today, Portland includes companies operating in sectors that include financial services, insurance, telecommunications, tourism, and media. Michael, thank you for joining this special 100th episode of the Business Coach Podcast.
You're most welcome, Ian.
So, Michael, how did you make your first $100 in business as either an employee or as an owner?
Well, this was back in 1977. I'd gone to the airport to wait for my mom. She was coming from Florida, and the flight was late. So I thought, where am I going to get people to see? Because that is the essence of success in the selling business. And being 26 years old, I knew no one who was wealthy. So I thought, let me just drive around the neighborhood and think about my prospecting list. So as I was driving, it was spring. I saw all these people tending to their gardens. So I thought, there they are, Mike. So the next person you see, you're going to put your foot on the brake, grit your teeth, close your eyes because you're nervous as hell, and then come out and make a presentation, which I did. So I did cold call. I had beginner's luck. of 6 people I approached, 5 gave me appointments. So the first month, I made $10,000.
Excellent work. Now, based on your experience, what is the smartest thing an entrepreneur can do in the first 100 days of their new business?
The smartest thing an entrepreneur can do in the first 100 days of their business, certainly establish goals and make sure that every day you wake up and your goals are firmly planted in front of your face. Having obviously goals, you develop a plan of attack and execution, execution, execution.
You are one of Canada's most successful entrepreneurs. Typically, successful entrepreneurs have habits, the proverbial 7 habits of highly successful people. What do you do during the first 100 minutes of your workday that helps you be successful?
I have a philosophy that success begets arrogance / complacency, which begets failure. I don't want to be a failure. So therefore, my habits today are the same habits I had when I was when I just got started in business and I was really bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. So I get up every morning at 5:30 and I work out, I read, I have my breakfast, then I go to work.
And finally, if you were asked to invest $100,000 of your own money today in a new emerging business or industry, what would that thing be?
It would have to be a business that I understood. It would have to be an industry that I understood. It would have to be an industry that has long-term growth prospects. It would have to be an industry, a business, that whereby the product cycle is long, and hence the cash flow emanating from that business is relatively predictable.
Michael Li Chin, thank you for joining this special 100th episode of the Business Coach Podcast.
You're most welcome, Ian.
Well, that's it for the 100th episode of the Business Coach Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our unique approach to the success secrets of some of Canada's greatest entrepreneurs. Be sure to check out other episodes of the Business Coach Podcast, which you can download from BMO.com/coach, ProfitGuide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit the BMO Smart Steps for Business community at BMO.com/smartbusinessowners. Until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.